Good to be here again. I felt led this morning to preach on the fruit of the Spirit. And that scripture is in Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I'll be referring to some other scriptures too. But I will read Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And I am reading from the New International Version. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and the like, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And it seems like each time I read these verses, I see some other things that should be brought out. There's so much in this scripture here. Part of my spiritual journey, going back over my life, has been to understand what it means for me to be filled with the Spirit. So before I just talk about the fruit of the Spirit, I'd like to just talk a little bit about being filled with the Spirit. And I'm thankful for some of Nate's songs and for prayers as well, in which the worship team and Nate talked and sang some about being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Before that it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So that's a command. It tells us, be filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit is something God does in us. We can't do it ourselves. We can't just say, I'm going to go and be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't quite work that way. Something God does in us. And he does that when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then he fills us with the Spirit. But we also have a part in that. And the fruit of the Spirit is the same way. We can't just decide one day that we're going to go bear fruit. And yet we have a part in that too. I read this week that a number of years ago, the Associated Press released a study. And this study was done by an agricultural school in Iowa. It reported that, let me see if I get these numbers right, the production of 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, and I'm not enough of a farmer to know if that's average or high or low or what. But anyway, production of 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, in addition to the many hours of the farmer's labor, required, listen to these numbers, 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen. I can't get a hold of that one. Oxygen doesn't weigh anything as far as I'm concerned. Wow. 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and other elements too numerous to list. Those numbers sound awfully high to me, but I guess they're right. In addition to these things, which no man can produce, rain and sunshine, of course, at the right time are critical. So it was estimated that only 5% of the produce of a farm can be attributed to the efforts of man. Wow. That's a little bit the way it is with spiritual fruit. That fruit in us just doesn't happen on our own. And yet we have a part in producing spiritual fruit. I think it's also true that being filled with the Spirit is not just a one-time occurrence. It doesn't just happen one time. We're filled with the Spirit when we come to the Lord at salvation. But there needs to be more infillings, I believe. And this gets interesting. This goes back some 30, 40 years ago, in my own experience anyhow. When I was young, I was trying to work through this whole thing about being filled with the Spirit, you know, and I wanted to be filled with the Spirit, and I kept on asking, but what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? I also knew at the time some charismatic brothers, and they were good brothers, who told me, being filled with the Spirit happens after salvation. And the mark of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of course, they said, is speaking in tongues. Well, I thought about that for a number of years, and I've known people that have done that and still do that. One of those brothers, I'm not sure if he's even living anymore, but a few of you who have been around here a little while, I knew him at Eastern Mennonite College, was Daniel Yutzi. Some of you who go back a while may recognize the name Daniel Yotzi. Anyway, that was kind of a journey in my life. And as I prayed about this and as I thought about this and as I worked through this myself, I concluded two things. To be filled with the Spirit doesn't just happen once or twice. It needs to continue to happen. And I believe it needs to continue to happen in our life. I believe I'm filled with the Spirit. But I'm not as filled with the Spirit as maybe I'd like to be, and I believe that depending on how many years I have here on earth, and none of us knows that, I hope that there will be more infillings that I will experience. So being filled with the Spirit, I believe, is a continuous experience. And I believe that's biblical as well. That command that I read about from Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to talk about the Greek language just a little bit here. Those words in the Greek are present tense. Now, present tense in the Greek language, if it's a command, means continuous action as compared to just one time action. So it would not be wrong at all to translate those words from Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's something that needs to keep on happening, and it certainly needs to keep on happening with me. I know it. And then, of course, the mark of the Spirit's presence in your life is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a little bit like my apple tree. I have an apple tree at home. I know it's doing well when it produces a lot of good apples. And last year I had a lot of apples and they were good. And my, there were boxes or over 100 of them we put in the freezer, you know. And I'm thankful that we did, because this year they didn't do so well. So we needed some of those applesauce boxes here for this year. I don't know why it didn't do well this year. I don't know if it was just a bad year or if it was because I didn't prune it and I didn't spray quite as much as what I should have. Or maybe it was both. Okay, anyway. Let me go on a little more now to the fruit of the Spirit. The background of the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians 5 is freedom in Christ. Verses 1 to 15 in Galatians 5 talks about Christian freedom. And that leads us into the fruit of the Spirit in verse 16 and following. So when we know the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us, that makes room in our hearts for the Spirit to fill us. What's Christian freedom? What does it mean to be free in Christ? We sang about that this morning. We prayed about that. What does that mean? What does it mean for you and I to be free in Christ? Now, I guess I'm just speaking from my own experience, but I think there's a legalism that we can easily fall into at times when we might be aware and know that there's some sin that we might be struggling with. So we try real hard to deal with that, and we know that it's never quite enough. And the harder you try, it seems like the harder it gets. Am I the only one that's ever experienced that? Looks that way. Okay. I doubt it. Yeah. You know what that's like. Yeah. I think this is a little bit what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he talked about trying to be justified by the law in verse 4. He's telling you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. And at this time, there were some teachers that were telling them they had to do some things in addition to believing in Christ to be saved, and one of those things was circumcision. But faith in Jesus Christ is all we need and all that there is and is sufficient for salvation. And that is all summed up in those verses. And verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So I find that as I open myself intentionally to the presence of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit, he brings a fullness and a joy and freedom in Christ that I just can't quite explain and do on my own. And I've experienced some of that, and I want to experience more. And I should say yet, I don't think that means that we can do whatever we want. We shouldn't think that freedom in Christ means, oh, that means we can do whatever we want. No, just like one of these verses, verse 13. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. That's not what Christian freedom is all about. So that will take us into the fruit of the Spirit. In verses 16 through 26. And in these verses, first of all, the lust of the flesh is compared to the fruit of the Spirit. As I read these verses, Sometimes I ask myself, why does Paul even mention all these lusts of the flesh? It must be because some people were struggling with those things and some people were dealing with them. And he mentions some of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, is the first thing that he mentions. Maybe for us that doesn't mean having affairs, but maybe it's our thoughts. And we live in a culture and the media that we have, that's a temptation around us. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, factions. And I believe there was some of that in Galatia. There were some factions. There was some of that kind of thing going on. Harmful attitudes between each other. That can happen today, too, sometimes in the church. Sometimes in the home. And selfish ambition and envy, thinking of ourselves before others, our attitudes toward others. Okay, that's enough about the lusts of the flesh, but rather than the lusts of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. These are the outcome of a Spirit-filled life. Love, joy, and peace. Learning to love as Jesus loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we realize how much Jesus loves us, that really hits us. And that Jesus loves us, Jesus loves me, just as I am. I think of that every day. Just as I am, Jesus loves me. That's powerful. That brings joy. Now, joy, first of all, it's not an emotion, but it's just that continuance that sustains you through everything. And peace. A peace with God that helps us make peace with others as well. I believe some of you are living those lives of love, joy, and peace. I'm not going to use an example of someone in here, but I certainly could. One example of a brother who I believe exhibited these fruits of the Spirit. Or this fruit of the Spirit. You don't know, but his name was Henry Hershey. And I guess I just have to talk about Henry Hershey just for a minute, even though none of you know him, is because he was a wonderful brother to me, and he just died, and we had his funeral for him Friday a week ago. Henry Hershey was the assistant pastor when I first moved to Parksburg Mennonite Church to be pastor there in 1992. He always had a smile on his face. And he was always ready to listen, to help, to understand. I knew I could always count on this brother, and he was always there for you. You just knew that Henry had the fullness of the Spirit. I can't explain it in any one way. You just knew that. And even if we disagreed, he was always ready to talk about that disagreement. I guess I also thought about Henry in relationship to my apple tree because I felt like I needed Henry again this year for my apple tree, and he was in ill health. Because years ago, my apple tree wasn't doing very well. And so I called Henry. I said, could you help me with my apple tree? And he came. And it was in the spring. And by the time he left, half of my apple tree was lying on the ground. I thought, this tree will never get back to where it was. I think I had nicer apples that year than I ever did. I'm not like Henry. I don't like to trim this branch and that branch because it's going to get a whole bunch of little buds on it, and I can't cut them off. Yeah. Anyway, enough about that brother. But I want to get into this whole matter of pruning just a little bit as well. There's a sense that we can't just on our own decide, I'm going to have love, joy, and peace. It comes from the freedom and joy we have in Christ. But there are some things we need to do, and one of those things is to prune. We need to prune ourselves to bear that fruit. And you know what that pruning is like in John 15. There are certain areas that I think we need to prune ourselves, and maybe there are areas that you have that you need to prune yourself on. If so, what are those areas? That's important to recognize those things. And it also talks about patience and long-suffering. When you have peace with God, you can learn to be long-suffering with others. And as the fruit of the Spirit begins to come in your life, you learn a little bit what it's like to be long-suffering with others. And one thing that I'm gradually learning is that my relationship with others is more important than always trying to prove I'm right or prove I'm wrong. It's more important to be long-suffering than to always prove I'm right or wrong. There's an instance that I had with a sister in Parksburg. This was maybe 6, 7 years ago, something like that. When I was at Parksburg Mennonite Church, the sister and I had a disagreement. And the disagreement was over the policy for funeral meals at the church. Now, just think about that one a little bit. If the pastor and some sisters have a disagreement over funeral meals, that could get kind of sticky. And it did. And I probably got a little bit defensive in that discussion. And I realized that, and I had to call this sister up later that evening and apologize for being defensive. Still, this sister did not come to church after that for several months because of that disagreement. But I praise God that after several months, this sister did show up one time. And the first thing that we did after she was sitting there before church started, maybe a half an hour before church started, she was just sitting there in the auditorium, and I came in and I saw her. The first thing we did, and there were other people around too, is we gave each other a hug. And things have been good ever since. God helped rebuild that relationship. But we need to go out of our way sometimes intentionally not to do what I did and try to defend ourselves, you know, those times always. I know that can be difficult to do, and we need the Spirit's help. But as the Spirit lives in us, the Spirit can help us to practice that patience and long-suffering that we need to do. And one thing that I did not mention yet is faith. There's a couple of things I didn't mention. Or faithfulness, the NIV mentions. I think about faith as a fruit of the Spirit, and I ask myself, what does that mean? Don't we need to have faith in order to be saved? How then can you talk about faith as being a fruit of the Spirit? Well, I think it's both. We need to have faith in order to come to Christ. But faith is also something we need to grow in. And in my own journey in faith, I think my own journey in faith has gone from at one time when I would pray for a certain thing and pray real hard and then wait for it to happen. And if it happened, great. And if it didn't happen, then I would either wonder if what's wrong with my faith or, okay, I'll say this too, get angry at God because I didn't think he cared. Any of you ever thought those things? No, probably not. Anyway, you know that, I think you know what I'm talking about. Those things, I was there at one time. But I'm learning now that faith is something that we can just allow and continue to ask, but believing that however God responds, God will answer, and his answer is best. And I'm learning that. And I find that my prayers are answered, and we need to praise God as we see our prayers are answered. And sometimes they're answered in the way that I'm hoping for or praying for. Other times they're answered in a different way. Yes. And then there's a couple other things here. Gentleness, self-control. And I've already said a little bit about gentleness, how we relate to others, especially in a conflict. And temperance, or self-control. Control over the lusts of the flesh. That could be alcohol, it could be sexual lust, it could be anger, it could be rage. There are many things over, you know, that we have to learn self-control. Self-control, learning to say no, is something we must learn, but it's also a fruit of the Spirit. So as we say no to the lusts of the flesh, and just remember how Jesus saved us and how much he loves us, open ourselves to Jesus. He fills us with his Spirit, and this fruit of the Spirit begins to take root in our lives. So I believe that the Holy Spirit's working. I believe that he's working in this church. I see the fruit of the Spirit here. I think many of you have the fullness of the Spirit. And I pray that each one of us, each one of you, will know the fullness of the Spirit and experience and give evidence to those fruits of the Spirit. So as we draw this to a close, is God speaking to you in some way to give yourself or prune yourself of something or open yourself to him and to the Spirit's work in your life in a new way or a newer way and bigger way? I don't know what he's doing in your life, but I'd just like to take a moment just to pray and first of all just to give a few moments of silent prayer and give you a chance to bring those things to God and ask him to fill you anew with the Spirit. And maybe confess some of those things if there are some lusts of the flesh that are keeping you from experiencing the fullness of the Spirit. And I praise God for what he's done and what he will continue to do in the Spirit's work in our lives. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank you so much for how much you love us, how much grace that you showed as Jesus came and died for us, and just that you love us just as we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that freedom in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's just more than we can say. Thank you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with that love and joy and peace, Lord. And I pray for each one. I pray that each one here would know the joy and the love and the peace and the fullness of the Spirit. And I pray for any person or any persons, Lord, that are thinking about areas they should bring to you. I pray that they would just bring those areas to you, Lord, and let them with you. And just trust in your saving grace and the fullness of your Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for what you have done in the lives of these dear people and what you will continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.